The recordings are started.
Thank you very much, Lance. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG ExCom call on Friday, 19th of August, 2016. On the call today, we have Tapani Teravainen, Joan Carr, Monica Zolnarute, Ponsulate Ileleji, Robin Grass. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi, and Chantel Duxon. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Tapani.
Thank you, Mariam. I trust you have all seen the agenda I posted this morning. Let's start with the routine stuff, which is new member applications. We have only a few. You all have that Google Docs form open, so you can review it. Okay, I trust you do if nobody complains. So let's take a look. We have two individual applicants. First is Tilna Carson, gives her address as Mint Cleaning Solutions, but no website given, no references given, and the description of the interest is, I want to make sure my work and customers are protected. Does anybody know anything more about this person? The description sounds a bit commercial interest to me. At the very least, I would like to ask for clarification of what is that work and what kind of customers and how is this concern non-commercial. Opinions, others? Okay, it seems that we have Monica and Robin both suggesting reject. Ponsalat is typing his response. Joan. Okay, well, in any case, we don't really need everybody's opinion at this point because we need a consensus to approve. So it would be nice if I have John and Ponsalet expressing your position here.
Sorry, my mute was on. I was speaking. Yes, I think I agree to reject.
Okay. Okay, since we are in agreement here, basically, that we will reject, then that based on her description, the interest is commercial. Of course, if they choose to, they can reapply with better explanations if it turns out we have misunderstood or something, but on the basis of this, we just reject. Okay? Next, Nadira Alaraj. We have a website and we have references, and the description seems very much non-commercial as far as I can tell. Member of Apralo, which is not a problem for us as long as it's not in the GNSO, so nothing formally against. I see that Monica and Robin have indicated approval. Joan, Ponsalat. Joan, your mic is on, so you might want to say something as well.
No, it looks good to me.
Okay, seems we are unanimous in approval, as we should be approved. Okay. Then we have one new organization here, Open Knowledge Finland. I see that Monica has expressed a question about this representative, but actually that is not a concern of ours, that in this application the representative is a representative in NCSG, and if the constituencies want a different representative, they can ask for that. This constituency selection is basically something, just information that we will forward this to set constituencies for approval on their leisure. So that is not a problem here. We have had applicants who want both constituencies before, so that's not a problem. But otherwise, opinions? As far as I can tell, Open Knowledge Network in general is very much in line with our non-commercial interests. Any others? I can see that Robin, Joan, Monica approve. I interpret Monica as approval. You guys see it there. Then Consulate. Okay. Consulate in chat saying is fine with it, so it seems we all approve. That was easy. Let's move on to another agenda. Next item. Have it the vice chair question. And to keep it nice and clean, I wanted to have I chatted with Rafik about this, so that just have a resolution of saying what we actually, the vice chair's rights and duties would be, even though I think this is sort of would be clear enough, but the proposal I suggested is that we define the vice chair's role to set up that the vice chair shall assist the chair as designated by the chair in fulfilling his or her functions under the NCSG charter, meaning that the chair's duties, if that's clear enough. So the vice chair would have no independent rights or duties or anything, basically doing what the chair asks, or actually, of course, the chair can't force the vice chair to do anything, but in agreement with him. So the idea is just sharing the workload and having someone to be there during vacations and things like that. Any opinions, comment on this text? Okay, Robin, you have the floor.
Hi, can you hear me okay? This is Robin.
We can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I started to reach out to my constituency to try to get some feedback on this. And I've only heard person back so far yet, but, you know, basically we're trying to get some understanding and clarification about what are the specific jobs and what would the duties be, and concern that there would be that it should be limited to non or that it should be limited to administrative things as sort of a part of the job description. I just reached out yesterday to folks, so I've only heard from one member of the NCUC Executive Committee back yet on it. So I think what we're going to want to do in any event is really try to clarify very specifically about what these jobs and duties are, because once that person's there, you need unanimity to remove them. So you need to be very careful about this and have a very clear understanding about what this role would be and the limits of the rule. Thanks.
Actually, given that the chair even has fairly limited powers to do anything, this is just mostly administrative tasks that the chair has to do. I don't see that there is any real problem there in that sense, that if you if we define it like this, it's still up to the chair to delegate explicitly any tasks. So unless if the chair decides to go rogue, they can do it without, regardless of that, the vice chair can do that. The only theoretical case I can think of a problem is that the vice chair would decide to do something impossible during a chair's vacation or something like that. And somehow that does not really strike me as probable. I can't even think of what it would really be that the vice chair could do that would be a problem in this kind of situation, or in any real situation that I can think of. Can you suggest something that hypothetical scenarios that would not work, Robin?
Well, actually, I was trying to think about it from the other perspective. What would be some examples of non-administrative things that you would want for this vice chair to do? And so, I mean, because I think that you're not going to get much disagreement on an administrative role, but if it is more than that, I think that we'll get very carefully. So what would be, I mean, can you think of anything that you would want this vice chair to do that is not administrative? And then, you know, we can think about how that fits in with what people have in mind.
Not really. That's, I'm trying to think of what non-administrative things I do in the first place. Okay, voting in the policy committee, I don't think that is something that the vice chair would ever need to do. And I'm not actually sure that would be info, but likewise voting in the finance committee, theoretically, but that they never voted on anything, and I'm not sure what it would vote on. But in principle, in the situation, let's say that the policy committee is having a vote, when I know I will be absent, then I would direct the vice chair to vote in a specific way. That kind of situation is conceivable. Technically not administrative. I don't foresee being away so long that I would not be able to prepare for that such an eventuality. Anything else? Yeah, the same applies for the finance committee. It might happen that such a, for example, on one of our meetings would have to be chaired by the vice chair in case I'm sick or away or something, but that's also very unlikely, and even if it were to happen, not really problematic, since we operate in full consensus anyway. Assigning travel slots, speaking slots, etc. Yeah, well, again, I don't see that particularly likely to happen in such a short notice that it would fall on the vice chair. Okay, Robin, you wanted to speak again?
Yes, actually, I forgot one additional point that had been raised for me to bring back to the meeting, and that is the possibility of having two vice chairs instead of one, and you would, you know, have one that would be a member from the two different constituencies. Is that something that you've considered or you'd be willing to consider?
I actually proposed that a year ago, and it went nowhere. But I might be willing to consider that, but I just want to move reasonably fast forward with this, and then it makes even more difficult to define the roles of the chairs. But yeah, vice chairs, do you want to move on with that option? And if you do, then we'll have to consider that whether these vice chairs would have to operate by consensus with themselves or whatever. But I'm thinking of practical scenarios here that when I'm actually like right now, because I'm having trouble getting the elections to have managed in time because of a number of reasons, including Marianne's broken laptop and whatnot, it would be nice to fall on someone and so on. So, of course, theoretically, no need for that to be a vice chair, but in practice, it would be nice to have someone to share this kind of things and planning schedules and all kinds of this. The vice chair, as per our charter, is selected on a yearly basis. So this will, in any case, happen again next year if it turns out to be bad. I don't see anything disaster coming out of this, but if it turns out it doesn't work, then we can always... I really cannot imagine any real disaster coming out of this. I did chat with Rafik about it earlier, and he said basically that, okay, I'll quote, even though quoting his personal messages kind of thing, in case we cannot come to a decision, make a deadline for non-objection in the EC list. Okay, we have everybody present, so that should not be a problem here. So, okay, another quote from Rafik. You will figure out in the call, probably. I'm not that worried. So, take that for what it's worth. Okay, John Robin is asking, what does NPOC feel on the matter? I did ask John to agree to this in advance, of course. John, you want to comment?
Last year it was a different story. I think this year it's more my decision, and I have the support of NPOC at the moment, as far as I know. They don't see it as taking away from my duties as at present. I think it enhances it probably.
Okay, so, okay, I confess I have one reason to rush this a bit, because I'm planning another totally off-the-net vacation in September, and I'd like to have this settled before then so I can delegate the things that I know will fall on that week to John to deal with. Joan,
my understanding of what the role would be is a sort of a step-in role, if we can boil it down to that, where, as you know, you're the chair, you're going to be continuing to do your fulfill your role, and if you're away on holidays, that, you know, things don't get bogged down or delayed or anything like that, so someone is there to chair it and to keep things moving. That's how I interpret it, as the first role, and secondly, to assist with anything that needs to get done so that they get done on a timely basis. That was my interpretation of what needs to be done. But the other issues that were brought up, maybe we have to deal with them, but I thought that's sort of what you were getting at for this role, is more administrative / step in when you weren't available.
Hmm. Yes, that was basically the idea. Would you be happy with the statement I proposed for the definition of the role? I think that's fairly simple and basic, but any problems with that, John?
No, I understood it, and I have no problems with it.
Okay, thank you. So, Robin, do you want to push this later, or can we decide this now?
Yeah, thanks. I would be hesitant to decide anything now before I've got, you know, official word from my constituency. I've only heard from one person, and, I'd be really hesitant to make a decision and then, you know, hear that they had a conversation this morning and I decided something really different from what they said. So I better check in with my constituency and see what they've decided on this matter. But I don't think it will take long. I know Rafiq's pretty good at moving things through quickly, so we'll get this done before your vacation.
Okay, so can we make a decision that we will put this pending an approval on the mailing list so we don't have to wait for another EC call in case it passes with your constituency's concerns?
Well, I don't think we need to wait for a call. I think we could, you know, wrap it up on the mailing list.
Okay, so let's make a decision now that shall we accept that definition I proposed and then
I would need to check with the NCUC about the proposed definition as well, because I'm not sure it would be satisfactorily administratively contained. So let me just check with them about this proposed definition.
Okay, so the plan is here that we will, pending proposal, like approval by the NCUC, want to.
I'm not comfortable saying approval. I'm just not comfortable saying approved until I actually get that message. So why don't we just say I just brought this to their attention yesterday, and we're awaiting feedback.
Okay. I guess we can even have a mini meeting by email, but we might make a statement, a decision here that absent opposition or agreement on the mailing list on this later will be sufficient to clear the case. Okay, so we'll leave this open until you get enough feedback, and we can, if necessary, tune up that definition of the role on the mailing list, approve the final text there, and then assuming that everybody is happy with it, and we can elect the chair, vice chair, as it were, by open vote on the mailing list, as it were. So basically, we'll leave this, decide this on the mailing list if everything is happy with that. Okay. Okay, let's move on. The next agenda item I have is that we need procedures for removing members. It has been... Actually, I was planning to do this sometime anyway. We had several reasons for bringing this up. The obvious ones being that we are cleaning up our member database and we've discovered all kinds of odd things there that should be at least checked. And that has been some concern about eligibility of some members. And our charter has this point in 226 saying procedural rules, where it says that the executive committee shall create procedural rules for membership for existing members to maintain their good standing or for removal of membership for cause. We have procedures, although not very well documented, for maintaining status and good standing in the sense of who gets to vote, which is this annual checkout here, but it would be good to have that better documented. But we don't have any rules for removal of membership. As far as I know, we have only removed members for when they've explicitly requested it, or in some cases when they have ceased to exist in some organizations. But we may need to consider the situation where someone becomes ineligible or does not fulfill their obligations they have agreed to when they joined, or things like that. So, I propose we start to draft text for this purpose, and I note that our charter says that any such procedure will be subject to membership approval, so it will take a bit of time to get it approved. I'm not sure what kind of process we would need for that. But I suggest that either getting a full consensus on the discuss list or a vote should be appropriate, at least satisfactory or sufficient. I guess if we get put this on the discuss list and after discussion there is full consensus and nobody wants to vote, then we may not need to vote. But if somebody insists on a vote, then I think we'll have to do that. Any objections or notes in this? Okay. Then how shall we go on writing these rules and procedures? I guess that's something not to do. We can't really do talking. We have to start writing stuff, but we might discuss some of the general ideas and principles before we start drafting text. So for starters, like write a list of reasons we might want to get someone removed, then how do we proceed in that case? I'm not sure if we have a long list, we have somebody wants to get out, that's okay, that's really a separate case. When somebody becomes, if somebody dies, they have to be removed, I guess that's an obvious case, but might be worth listing. When an organization ceases to exist, that's another case. And then the difficult ones are when someone's eligibility to membership for membership changes. I know that we have in our rules actually a point that if anybody has doubts about somebody's eligibility, 229, it should be make a request to the NGSG to review that. Presumably, likewise, in the case when somebody does not uphold the responsibilities as a member. I'm just looking at this, the charter is not very clear on that, but when they apply, they agree to uphold our purpose and principles, so that might be something that would be a cause for removal. Are there any other situations when we might want to remove a member? Anybody can think of any? Yes, good point, Robin. A situation when somebody changes their category. There are a couple of situations there. We have actually had a few cases when somebody has been an organizational member and requested to become an individual member. We have one actually right now, but we'll have to deal with the next meeting, I think. That's something we really can't do, I think, in any other way than merely treating as a new application and removing the old one. But the categories, in the other sense, you may have thought, because we have the individual side, or have a different categories, whether it's an owner of a domain or otherwise interested, and there were three categories, I think. So that's something we should definitely consider, whether a member should notify us when they switch categories in that sense, and in that case, should that actually be acceptable, or should they be treated as a new application, or things like that. Is that what you had in mind? Yes, that not non-commercial enough is basically the same as when we are going through new applications and when somebody starts their changes, then that is basically a cause for removal. And but that's just the general eligibility rule here. Did I understand correctly your concern about switching categories? Robin, you're fine with
yeah,
that?
Yes. Yeah, because I think we just need a process in place so we know what each member is eligible for membership under, and then if that changes, you know, we have a process whereby they just go through that category process. So I don't think that it's a big deal, but you know, it's a new charter, and we're learning, discovering things that holes, if you will, that we didn't have that would be nice to have. This is our chance to fix it, first chance.
Well, actually, we are still operating under the old charter, but yeah, we can do that under the old charter as well.
Well, it's our very first charter. Yeah, it's old in the sense of it's a few years old.
Yeah, okay.
The only charter NCSG's ever had.
Yeah, 2000, I guess that's, well, whether that's old or not is arguable. But anyway, yes, that's something that's actually a good point to bring up that we'll have to take into account when we build our new memory database. That one field we want to have in there is the category under which a member has been considered eligible or applied for, and provide means for changing that. So yes, that's something to consider. Then we'll have to talk about how we proceed. Yes? Who was that?
Oh, gosh, I think you read my mind with what my question is, because I was going to ask you, what did you have in mind in terms of how we pull this together? Should a couple of us just sort of start drafting and come back to the group, or did you have something else in mind or in terms of a process for moving this forward?
Actually, before going to that, I have another issue that we have to consider is that what's the process when we actually start considering the new fellow member. For example, we might want to say that the initial step would be the chair contacting said member and asking if they think themselves still eligible, give them an opportunity to explain them at this point and so forth, and at what point if they don't agree and so what happens. But that's the procedural issue. Now, the question you asked, how do we build this? Yeah, we need to start drafting it. I guess we can set up a space somewhere in some wiki or use email or whatever, and whoever is interested in here, we need to a small team, perhaps. I don't think we can. Okay. Robin is volunteering with drafting. I will have to be involved in as well. Does anybody else want to be involved? Should we ask somebody else? Okay, everybody wants to join in the drafting. Seems okay. Joan didn't yet, but I think we are a small enough group that we can draft together. Would somebody want to do the first draft and then circulate it for others for comment, or should we find some? Okay, maybe that's the way to go. Seems that Robin is volunteering to do the first draft. I don't think we want a too perfect draft to start with, just listing all the issues that leave open, whatever you don't have, that is moving reasonably fast. Okay, so we let Robin do a first draft, circulate it in the list, and we'll move on from there. Okay, let's move on. Next item I have in the agenda is how do about preparation. Primarily, we need to decide when and what meetings we want in the schedule. I wonder if Mariam, Chantal, could you get us the initial tentative schedule template for display us? So so we can look what days and holes we have available.
Hi, Tapani. Yes, I've actually told to upload the document. She will be doing that in a minute. Thank you.
And this is also something we need to coordinate with the constituencies. So we can't get a perfect decision at this point, but let's have a look and what we can do. Okay, we have it on screen. Let's see, what meetings do we want? Usually we've had one general NCSG meeting, I think, then the meeting with the board, and meeting amongst ourselves, executive committee meeting, although normally open to all members to join if they so feel want. And as I understand, we should all be in Hyderabad, so we'll have a normal, proper meeting up there. Okay, looking at this in full screen. What's the constituency day has actually moved to somewhere else? I must confess, I have not taken a good look at this yet. And this is not still too generic to make it easy to see how we pull this off. There is already ICANN board and non-commercial stakeholder groups meeting on Sunday. So that's one already fixed, although subject to change, but still we can accept that proposal. I think the board will not flex for us anyway. For our executive committee meeting, we can look for any free hole we can find, although we prefer to avoid any overlaps with other NGSG NCUC NPOC events. I believe NPOC had in mind of some outreach event here. Joan Ponsalet, you can remind me. Did I remember correctly?
Sorry, Tapani, can you repeat what you said?
I understand NPOC is planning. I understood NPOC is planning an event.
Yes, NPOC is planning an event in Hyderabad. Yeah, and I think, Juan, if you're there, the details are still being worked out, but we have an event coming up, yes.
And did you know the planned time? Have you any idea of that, when that would be in the schedule?
Hi, Tapani. This is Mariam. So looking at the schedule, it would either be Thursday, Friday, or we can look for the event being on Monday. That's what we are discussing with class, but that's being planned at the moment.
Thursday, Friday, let me see, I'm trying to, it works out that there's day one and day two, is that correct?
Yes, that's day one and day two, because those are capacity building and outreach sessions, so we can utilize or pack there. Alternatively, then we can squeeze in for a Monday or so.
Okay, there are also the SOSG working sessions. Do we know when the GNSO sessions would be? We don't want to overlap with the council session. I'm trying to figure out where the constituency day here is supposed to be, but I guess it's been revised in such a way that it doesn't really exist anymore.
I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday, that's my thinking, because it says intra and cross-community work.
Okay. Do we know when the constituencies are planning to have their events?
No, not at the moment, but I'm looking at Tuesday and Wednesday as well. Everyone is coming in on Thursday, Friday.
Okay, so I see that, I guess that our representatives from NCUC and NPOC don't know about your exact plans any more than either. Okay, I guess we can't do all that much at this point. Let's just say that that's the three meetings we are going to request. Okay, the board meeting, which is already in the tentative schedule, then the normal NCSG session, and the executive committee meeting. And that we'll try to coordinate with NCUC and NPOC so that there won't be any overlaps that we can avoid. Okay, I see Robin, you want to have raised your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I agree that we should do those meetings. But we also have the NCSG PC meeting, the policy committee meeting. I'm not sure if you request that or if that's something that the chair of the policy committee requests, but I'm just wanting to flag as an additional meeting that we'll want to make sure gets in the overall NCSG request.
Good point, yes. We
might want to think about if we want to do something strategic with one of the other stakeholder groups or SOs. I know in the past we've often met with at large to discuss some of our common interests. I think it might be worthwhile to meet with some of the contracting parties, specifically the registrars maybe at some point, have a joint meeting where we could try to figure out how we can work together better since we're often on the same side of policy issues. I'm not necessarily suggesting it for this meeting, but maybe. I think it's something we should think about, you know, trying to do a little bit more of the cross-community relationship building to work together with some of the other stakeholder groups on these issues.
Okay, thank you. They are good points. We definitely need a policy committee meeting, and I guess we'll have to. Okay, I'll take it up with the policy committee chairs. But I think we better consolidate our requests anyway, so it doesn't make sense to leave it. Just say, you handle this, we'll have to coordinate and consolidate this anyway. So that's one meeting to add to the list. And this inter-constituency or stakeholder group meeting proposal is certainly worth considering if we can find time for that. But it takes some thinking to decide who we want to talk with at what time. Is simply say, we have a one-on-one with the registrars, stakeholder group, or is it constituency? I don't even know. It's a stakeholder group, right? And or somebody else. Maybe we should take this up, leave this brewing for a moment, or would you want to make a specific proposal already that we try to organize just one-on-one with the registries and registrars? Or try to make more? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, I think it's something we should start talking about and thinking about strategically, and really just do kind of off the top of my head that I thought, well, you know, the registrars are our closest to the end users, so we all share issues with them. That might be one candidate, but we've met with at large in the past, individual users. We've had a number of things in common with them. Maybe before I were to make any sort of formal request, I would just want to informally check in with some of the leadership in whatever group we wanted to meet with to see if it's even worth trying to pursue schedule-wise. I don't know.
Okay, that's certainly worth at least thinking about and trying to reach out to various groups, starting maybe with the registries and registrars, because we certainly have quite a lot of common ground. Okay, I don't see that we can make much more concrete progress here at this point, unless someone wants to, say, volunteer for reaching out to some specific group on this. But we can go on talking about this on the mailing list as well, and certainly coordinate with the other, our constituencies, the activities. Okay, we'll put that on the discussion list. That's a good point, Robin, so we can do that as well. Is there anything else we need to consider to talk about regarding Hyderabad? Like, everybody's confident that they will get a visa in time. Okay. I guess not. Let's move on with the agenda. The next one I put in the agenda is the constituency reviews. As you hopefully know, our charter requires that we review all constituencies. It actually says it, in absence of any other review criteria from the board, the NGSGEC will perform a review of all constituencies every 2 years to determine if any recommendation will be made to the board regarding a change in status of any constituency. I don't think this has ever been done before, actually, despite that it should be done every 2 years. Robin, you might remember better.
Yes, I remember very well. It is one of the issues that has slipped through the cracks. It has never been done before. But you're right, we need to come up with a process for doing that. I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. So we'll put that on our agenda in the incoming year. I don't think we want to rush this too much. So I think I note that besides NCUC and NPOC, we still have that one candidate constituency, which I think we should either tell them to become active or more likely drop them out of candidate status, having not moved further for years. Otherwise, we'll have to go through the list of questions. He says that I think we should do this one constituency at a time, I guess. I understand that NCUC is presently planning reviewing and plan to change its bylaws. We might want to wait for that to happen, or alternatively, we might want to communicate with them about that. But maybe it's easier to wait for that process to finish. But otherwise, most of these questions are we need to answer. If you look at our charter, the questions we need to review are that the constituencies still have a defined non-commercial purpose and meet the criteria defined in 231, which is the actually becomes more relevant in the candidate constituency case, but these are details there. Then we have to note that they have maintained a dynamic publicly archived discussion list. They must have participated actively in relevant NCSG and GNSO policy development process, working groups or work teams. I don't know if we should perhaps start by defining some kind of limit of what's the minimum participation, but I don't think we should set the bar very high there. Must have participated actively in submitting comments and other policy statements to the NGSG and to the GNSO. Likewise, must have at least 10 participants who sign on to an updated SOI for maintaining recognized status as a constituency. One procedural issue here is that since we have representatives of said constituencies in this executive committee, how shall we decide this? Should the representatives of each constituency be recused for judging themselves, or should we just move it by consensus? And actually, if we do, it would seem that the way to go is that we would have a consensus on maintaining the status of any constituency rather than rejecting them, because the way that we have to decide that someone maintains the recognition, I'm not sure which way that would go, but my feeling would be that it should go that way. So
Giovanni?
Yes, go ahead, Robin.
I was thinking about this, and I'm not sure it makes sense for people to recuse themselves on the committee, because we're all members of one of or the other of the constituents. So I'm not sure that really would work. But you know what I do think we should try to do is come up with a process that's maybe gives constituencies a chance to see where there may be some deficiencies and then fix it before we make a final determination as required under the charter. So, you know, we could take a look at, for example, to the transparency requirements and say, oh, well, there's some issues here on transparency for this constituency, and, you know, sort of like a preliminary or a flag, and then that can give them a chance to fix that. And then, you know, rather than just issuing rulings that, you know, you're not good enough on this issue, really try to work with the different constituencies to make everyone pass the test, if you will. Does that make sense at all?
That makes perfect sense to me, and I definitely agree. That's the way we should go. That let's set up a preliminary evaluation of the constituencies and then pass the results of that. It looks like this might be, you know, marginal. You might want to respond to that or adjust your action or something like that, and maybe even do a few rounds of that, so that the process would be that we start by going through the list, check each constituency on how they seem to fit, and negotiate with them that, hey, come on, you don't quite fit this, or we are not sure that this fits. And so, yes, like, give them a chance to explain themselves or improve on whatever, or something like that. So we obviously do not want to have a result that we don't end up rejecting all our constituencies, have none left. That would be kind of bad. So the process proposal is that we should start by making a list of these. Okay, we have a list of these things we must consider here. We might want to make them a bit more concrete, how we review them, then go through that list for each constituency and as a tentative preliminary assessment, then interact with the constituencies and ask, well, what do you think of this? Did we misread this, or did you forget to document something we missed, or whatever? And then when we get back from them, then we review the situation again, maybe give them time to improve on something or things like that. But the purpose indeed is to help everybody pass. But just the idea here is that maybe we need to, you know, sort of remind them that we should do a bit better here and there. Because it tends to, sometimes it happens that people get lax in some place that an outsider looking at it can better see how things should be improved. And I guess that's part of the idea, if not the main idea, of this review scheme here. Okay, does that sound agreeable to everybody? Okay. I see Joan indicating approval, and if I interpreted it correctly, so we are agreed on this process. Okay. Any other comments here? No? Okay. Let's move on. Final item I have is that we have a plan, a possible charter revision, as Robin has already pointed out, that there may well be needs for revising our charter. Actually, it is almost certain that we'll have to do that at some point with the new ICANN charter and all that. That is something that takes quite a while, and I don't think we should now go in detail about what we need to change there, although, of course, if you have something you want to bring up already, that's fine. But plan now just the process and timing, perhaps. Okay, one point, coming back to the last one, I suggest that we try to get started after Hyderabad. I think we are too busy until then to do anything about this review process, but the plan is that maybe in the Hyderabad meeting actually talk about this already. If we can try to prepare the plan, then all the better. But still, time for the review would be mostly between Hyderabad and Copenhagen, and hopefully completed by Johannesburg. But for the charter review, the process, I guess, would be basically we start by collecting needs, what we need to start, which needs to be changed, what kind of gaps we have noticed in our charter, what kind of new requirements have come up in the CCWG accounting or anywhere else. And we might want to go through the charter with an eye for gaps, look for conceivable, imaginary, but possible situations where we might find that the charter does not provide for what to do, and we might end up in a deadlock or need to go about reading it with between the lines, as it were. Imagine all possible disaster scenarios. What can happen? What should the charter does not provide for? Does this sound like a good plan? And again, timing is the issue here. Is it likely that we will be able to complete this within a year? How optimistic, how much we want to rush it, because the transition process is still in the works. I'm not sure how we may end up finding new problems coming from there or new issues coming from there. If we rush this too much. Robin, do you care to comment? What would be... Okay, you already raised your hand. Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to comment on the timeline for this. It's going to be, unfortunately, a much longer process than I think any of us would like, but that's just the way it's sort of baked into the charter right now. Once we come up with the changes that we want, we need to approve it, and we need for them to approve it. So we have to have a membership-wide vote. It needs to be approved by 60% of the members, and then it goes to the board of directors once our members approve it, and they have a look at it, and they may want to make some changes, in which case it comes back to us for another approval. And when we agreed and the board agreed, then it goes out for public comment. So... unfortunately, it will be a longer process than I think I would like, many of us would like, but there we have it. I think probably at least a year, to be realistic. I think let's try to do it quicker, as quickly as we can, but some of this isn't in our hands. Some of this, we hand it over to the board and they put it in there. On their agenda, and they might not get to it for several months. So, to some extent, the timing isn't going to be in our hands, but I would like to move quickly as we can on our own side, to the extent that we can, to try to get some of these fixes in place.
Thank you, Robin. Yes, I tend to agree with that kind of the timing concerns, that possible timings that would be that, okay, the first, after we draft or write up the proposal, we will have to, of course, circulate it a bit in the world, but we have to put it in a vote among our members. And I rather think I not get that done in even to that stage in less than a year, meaning that we would vote on it during the next NGSG election next summer. We just might want to get it faster so that we get a vote sometime in the spring, but... And then, because as you said, it's likely that the board will want to change. Of course, we can try to interact with the board in between, but I somehow suspect they will not be too helpful in that until we have a ready proposal at hand. So I suspect we'll have to vote, have our members vote on it twice.
Hello, Tepa.
Yes, Poinsalat, you want to speak?
Yeah, hello. Tepani. Yeah, Poinsalat for the record. I just wanted, I agree with what Robin said and what you just said, but since the initial steps is in our hands, if we start early and by spring next year, then we now know that, okay, maybe we have been able to do what we can do by spring next year and it's left to the board to get back to maybe likely if they make some changes again, then it goes back to votes. But if we should try to get a time frame and give ourselves a time frame and know, let our membership base know that, okay, we want to try to complete this exercise by spring next year. And at least we'll be able to put that pressure on ourselves. That's the way I want to look at it. Because if we, as you said, it can go for 1 year. I totally agree. And if we leave it on our side for it to go for 1 year, then we have another 3-6 months for board to look at it and get back to us. Then you're now talking of 18 months. So we should try to make our own time frames much stricter. At least that one is in our control if we get our membership base involved earlier that this is what is coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Poinsalat. You have made a good point. So we might want to try to set ourselves the goal of having a proposal we are ready to put for vote by Copenhagen meeting. So start by collecting all our...
Thank you.
Yes, so... That's our aim, that the proposal from our side, ready to be handed to the board, would be ready by Copenhagen. Of course, we do know that all timelines tend to slip, but we need to have a goal to go for, and it's not an impossible goal, even though it may be a difficult one. Okay, so that's the plan. I presume that the board will take its own time working on that, but in theory, the fastest way I think it could actually could go on that we can get the revised version after fighting with the board for approval for the second vote of our members in the next summer, next year, this time, and then we'd have it actually approved in a year. That's, theoretically possible at least, so we can try that. But for now, the goal is to have a proposal ready by Copenhagen. And how to go about it, I think we need to have set up something like a wiki page where they collect proposals, suggestions for change, advertise it to our members that, hey, come on, put up, this is what we are planning, and any suggestions, please come up with them. And at some point, after we collect enough input from members and read the charter often enough ourselves and think of that, then we'll start drafting a new one. That would be after Hyderabad again, I think. We might have in Hyderabad have a discussion about this if we have time in our sessions there as well. I see that at least Robin agrees on the wiki. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, I guess I can ask Mariam to start the wiki page for the purpose. I think we can trust iCanWiki for this purpose and not set up one on an independent website, right? It's public stuff anyway. Of course, if I can start censoring our plans, then we'll have to do something about that, but I somehow don't think that's likely. Yes. Seems Robin agrees with the idea that we can talk about this in Hyderabad. So we put this on the Hyderabad NCSG meeting agenda. Okay, seems we are in happy agreement about that as well. And that was the last thing in my agenda. Any other business anybody wants to bring to this meeting? No? Okay. Seems we're done. Okay, comment about the next possible meeting sometime in September. Problem as noted that I may have trouble finding any usable dates in September, so... Okay, let's leave that pending depending on how we get along with the vice chair's issue. But the possible dates would be the, basically the, we'll try to keep on the Fridays. We can't make the 2nd of September in any case, but, and I hope not the last one, but something like the 23rd of September I might be able to do actually, but, so keep Fridays of September or early October open for the call for now, okay? So, we're done. Thank you, everybody. Continue on mailing lists and in the next meeting and so on. Okay. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the meeting. Lunch, you may now stop the recording. Thank you very much for your time today. Goodbye.